Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
What a great rock song that is. Man, one of the best of all times. In the mid-1970s, Carrie Livgren, who was the principal songwriter and guitarist for the band Kansas, was on a spiritual quest. He had been raised with some religious exposure, but like so many people, he found himself pulled into this deep search for meaning and truth. And he went on a quest, searching everything from world religions to Eastern philosophies and to even exploring metaphysics. He joked about that time of his life, saying, "I was a charter member in the Religion of the Month Club." He later described himself during this time as, and hear this, spiritually hungry, but completely lost. The song that was just playing, "Carry On My Wayward Son," was written in 1976 and was one of the first songs that Carrie Livgren wrote that really reflected his inner struggle. He described it as a song of self-encouragement. He was grappling with the weight of existence, truth, and destiny, and the lyrics reflect both turmoil and hope. And some of you may remember a song that he wrote and released in the next year, 1977, "Dust in the Wind," which was another searching for truth kind of song. In 1979, Carrie Livgren came to Jesus Christ in a powerful way. And the songs he wrote for Kansas became increasingly filled with Christian lyrics, which eventually caused disagreement with some of the other band members. He was a pioneer in interjecting Christian themes into mainstream rock and roll music. And it eventually led to some of the members leaving the band, including himself, in 1983. He started the Christian band AD, where he could freely express his faith without any limitations. He remains faithful to Christ today and has a trailblazing legacy within the genre of Christian music that has influenced many who have followed. You really can't have a conversation about the evolution of Christian rock without bringing up his name. "Carry On My Wayward Son" was certainly not a one-hit wonder for Carrie Livgren, but the message within this song, it echoes and it resonates with so many people who have felt the tension and the struggle within them as they search for truth and meaning while at the same time they're living through hardships and disappointments. And this is not only true for the unbeliever who is seeking to find God for the first time. It's even true for those that have received Jesus, because believers experience these tensions and struggles as well. We see them in the Bible. Abraham, who is so celebrated for his faith, also experienced moments of doubt. He had faith. He was such a faithful man, but he had moments of doubt. And he even took matters into his own hands when he and Sarah tried to fulfill God's promise of a son through Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. You guys know the story. And let's not forget the time that Abraham doubted God's protection, and so he lied about his wife. He said, "This is my sister," because he didn't think God could protect his family. The man of faith, the man who left everything he knew because he just went. He was called. He went to a land that God would show him later. Didn't even tell him where he was going. He just went and left. That's faith, but he also experienced doubt. That's a tension. That's a struggle. Yet there's Job in the Bible, a righteous man who experienced immense suffering and loss. How many want Job's life? Not too many of us. Leading him, he questioned God, and he sought to understand the reasons behind all this pain he was experiencing. His struggle is probably the quintessential biblical example of the tension that exists between our human understanding of justice and God's sovereign will. Jacob, another dude in the Bible, who was manipulative and conniving. He wrestled with God both literally and figuratively. This struggle resulted in his name being changed to Israel, which is a great example of the tension that exists between holding on to the controls of your life, saying, "I'm in control," versus letting God have the controls over you. Then there's Moses. Even though God chose him to lead the Israelites out of slavery, I mean, this is Moses we're talking about, right? He experienced insecurity about his abilities and about his leadership, particularly after the people rebelled in the desert. You have Elijah. I can go on and on, folks. You have Elijah, the powerful prophet who, after dramatic victory over the prophets of Baal, fled in fear that Jezebel would kill him. He just called fire down from heaven. And he just did it. And what does he do the next, just moments later, it seems like, in the Word of God? He's running in fear. It's crazy. Defeats his enemies and immediately finds himself in emotional despair. I mean, don't you think he would erode the victory? You know, did the bull ride for a little bit in celebration? Falls right into despair. Then there's David, the anointed warrior and king. He falls into sin's temptation, commits adultery and murder, and is still referred to as a man after God's own heart, because of his humble heart and his willingness to repent. There's Jonah, the reluctant prophet who tried to flee God's call to preach to Nineveh because he despised the people there. I ain't going there. I'm not going to tell them the truth. They might accept it. They might get saved, and I don't want them saved because I don't like them. Basically, what was going on? Tension, struggle between our human prejudice and God's compassion for all humanity. I mean, there was a struggle there. Thomas, I'm just going to keep going here. You guys awake this morning? Yeah. Often dubbed, Doubting Thomas, right? Because he was famously skeptical about Jesus' resurrection until he saw the evidence for himself. His skepticism illustrates our human need for proof, while Jesus' response reminds us that true faith involves believing without seeing. These are all struggles. These are all tensions. These great people of God dealt with all of these struggles just like we do. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, declared his loyalty to Christ boldly. But then as fear set in, there's that fear word, he denied even knowing Jesus just hours later after he made this declaration. Three different times. And I'll end with Paul. He was a persecutor and murderer of Christians. Then he had a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, and he experienced a radical shift in belief and purpose. And all of these men, all these people, they had this in common. They felt the tension that exists between the questions surrounding this human experience called life and the not always easy answers that are found in and through Christ. Now, that doesn't sound like very good news. We like what we like, don't we? We like what, and we want to hear what we want to hear. But sometimes the answers that are grounded in truth are not the answers that we want to hear. Have you ever noticed that a kid, or maybe your own kid, if you have more than one, this probably happened in your family. The child, they went to mom, they asked mom, and they didn't get the answer they liked, so they went and asked dad. And they tried to pit the two against each other. Sometimes we just don't, we don't like what we're hearing. There's people like that in the world today. They seek out a counselor, and when the counselor exposes some truth to them, be it a pastor or a professional Christian counselor or whatever, they go, well, this isn't working out. I'm going to go find another counselor who will tell me what I want to hear. Which you're spending money for nothing, by the way. Because don't you spend money on a counselor so that they'll tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear? And you've all experienced these tensions, that struggle. You know it's real. You felt it when you see bad things happen to good people. You felt it when everyone else seems to be getting rained on with financial blessing while you're struggling just to make ends meet. You felt it when you've prayed and prayed for something to change, but have only heard what seems like deafening silence from heaven. We've experienced it when we've worked so hard at doing the right thing just to be set back once again. And if anybody in this room ever feel like in life, you're taking three steps forward and then you get knocked back two. And then you take one step forward and then you get knocked back three. It feels like that sometimes. We know all about this tension. You felt the testing of your faith through trials and tribulations and suffering. And some of us have put up this really good front, showing how strong our faith is to everyone around us. But in those secret corners of your heart and mind, you find yourself questioning everything you know about Jesus. Your outside exudes, wonderful Christian, amazing Christian, awesome woman or man of God, while your inside is screaming, why Jesus? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why? I mean, you're a church attender, you're a Bible reader, and you know how to cry out to God in prayer, but you feel as though the answers just aren't coming. And you have even started to doubt if God really cares about you and what you're going through. I'm talking about reality here this morning, the reality of the struggle, the tension that we all feel. It's like a tug of war going on within our souls. On one side, you have all the questions that surround the negative experiences we have in our lives. And on the other, the answers that are grounded in truth. But like I said, not always answers we want to hear or that we like to hear. Some of you are here this morning out of sheer desperation. Your marriage is struggling. Your kids haven't joined you in your faith. Or maybe you've been given a doctor's report that doesn't give you a lot of hope. I don't know what the situation that's creating the tension or the struggle in your life at this moment. But I do know what Jesus said nearly 2,000 years ago. It's our one-verse wonder, and he's still saying it today. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's read it together this morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is for sure a one-verse wonder. What an awesome promise to all of us that are living with those kinds of tensions and those kinds of struggles. And I love how this verse keeps it so real and so simple. Let's break it down a little bit. Number one, come to me. Come to me. I want to point out that this is an invitation, not an obligation. Did you hear what I said? It's an invitation, not an obligation. Jesus isn't saying, figure it out or try harder. He says, come. That's it. Just come. And remember, Jesus also said, let the little children come unto me. This is the same invitation he's giving here, but it's to everyone. He says, come to me. This is relational language, church, not religious rule keeping. This is an invitation to intimacy with Christ, a personal relationship with him. And so many of you have this relationship already, but there are times when life pulls at our faith and gets in the way of our relationship, and the answer before we came to Christ is the same answer we need to hear when life dulls that relationship. Just come. Come to Jesus. If you wipe all the noise away, if you step back, and if you could take a 10,000-foot view and you could see what's going on in your life, you would be like, oh, I just need to come to Jesus. It's that simple, church. Come to me is also directional. I don't know if you noticed that. It means stop going your own way. Stop running in circles for the answers. Stop trying to carry the load yourself and just come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus means admitting you can't solve the struggle on your own. It's the moment of humility that Jesus desires in all of us. It's the moment you stop wandering and you head back home. It's like Jesus is saying, carry on in your journey toward me. You can do this. I know the struggle. I know the tension. But there are depths of relationship that you can have with me that you haven't even imagined yet. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 plus years. There are depths in the relationship with God, in the relationship that you have with Christ, that you haven't even fathomed yet. Let that sink in. Well, I'm a pretty mature Christian. I don't know. I'm telling you, the deeper you go, the deeper you realize you can go. Amen? In church, it has to be said, coming to Jesus involves submission. Submission. Stay seated right now if you really love to submit. Praise the Lord. Everybody does. With every level of relational depth that can be found in Christ, there's a corresponding level of submission to Christ. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You invited him into your heart because you submitted to the truth of who he is, right? You grew closer to him and you began to reflect his character in your actions and your behaviors as you submitted to his word. Some of you here this morning have experienced greater intimacy in that relationship that you have with Christ because you've submitted to his sovereignty, giving him full authority over your life. Church, the deeper your submission to him, the deeper your relational connection with him. Did you hear what I said? The deeper your submission to him, the deeper your relational connection with him. Submission isn't about losing freedom. It's about finding that true freedom that only comes from surrendering to the one who loves you perfectly. Turn to your neighbor and say, man, he loves you perfectly. So number one, come to me. Number two, everyone. Who should come to Jesus? Everyone who is weary and burdened. There are no qualifiers in this. He doesn't just call or invite the strong, the spiritual, or the have it all together people. The invitation is to everyone. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life, right? And in a world that's so deeply divided politically, religiously, culturally, ethnically, and even relationally, we need to remember something. All of humanity shares the same universal struggle. It may look different from person to person, from country to country, but at the core, we are all burdened by the tension between truth, the truth that we seek, and the struggles we endure. We feel the weight of trying to live righteously in a world that pulls us in the opposite direction. We carry the exhaustion of hardships that press against our faith, and whether we admit it or not, every one of us is longing for relief, for rest, for something, or rather for someone to lift our burdens. When Jesus says weary here, he's talking about the exhaustion that exists deep within our very souls. Our weariness in our souls that causes even our spiritual man to become weary. The burden is the weight of sin, it's shame, it's unanswered questions, and all of the struggle that comes with life's trials. And notice he doesn't minimize your struggle in that verse. He acknowledges the heaviness of it. He gets it. He doesn't try to downplay what you're going through. He sees you, and he sees the struggle that you're in the middle of. He knows. And remember the biblical examples I gave? Abraham's doubts, Job's suffering, Jacob's wrestling with God, Moses' insecurity, Elijah's despair, David's sin, Jonah's prejudice, Thomas's skepticism, Peter's denial, Paul's past. They all created struggles within them, internal struggles. Well, he sees your internal struggle, whatever it may be. He sees what you're going through, and he invites you to come to him. Bring your tired, weary self and lay those heavy burdens down. In fact, it's because you are tired and you are carrying burdens that you qualify as someone who is invited to come. Are you struggling? Then you qualify. Do you feel like you're carrying a massive load on your back? You qualify. All too often, we try to carry all this weight ourselves and then add Jesus in once we feel like we have a handle on our burdens. When all the while, Jesus is saying, hey, you over there. Hey, you over there. You with the, yeah, you. With that huge burden, that huge load on your back, come over here to me and I'll give you some rest. I'll give you real rest. And that's the third point. Find rest. Come to me, everyone. Find rest. So that verse is saying. Notice, he's not offering immunity here, but renewal. Biblical rest is not about immunity from struggle, but about restoration for your body, soul, and spirit, your whole being. Peace in the present and hope for the future. And we can rest in this life knowing that Christ will carry our burdens, and we have hope for the future, that there is eternal rest in heaven when all the burdens will be no more. I love that. There's a day coming, church, when all this weight, all this struggle, all this resistance, all this stuff that we carry, that we're loaded down with, it won't even exist. In the here and now, we can bring it to God. He says, come to me. If you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're carrying all this stuff, I'll give you rest in the here and now. But there's a day coming even better than that when there won't even be a burden. I mean, I'm looking forward to that day. I love life, and I'm going to live it to the fullest. But I tell you what, I'm more excited about the life to come than the life I have here in this earth. You can clap. It's okay. That's all right. That's a good thing to clap about. We have a future. He's preparing a home for us. Heaven is going to be awesome. I mean, have you ever woken up from natural causes? You know what I'm saying? Like, you lay in bed until your body just can't handle any more sleep. It seems like a miracle or a dream or something, doesn't it? No kids waking you up, no alarm clock waking you up, no phone ringing, no daylight. Alyssa, no birds tweeting in the morning waking you up. She doesn't like those birds tweeting in the morning. You just rest until you can't rest no more. And then what does heaven have to offer? Adventure. Adventure. Of every kind imaginable. We're going to find rest like we've never known. And this rest, it's a gift. Hear this. It's not a wage. Wages are earned, but this rest is freely given to anyone who comes, be it here and now or be it later. You can't strive your way into finding it. You can't earn it. He just gives it freely. Cary Livgren wrote the lyrics, "Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done." Jesus takes it so much further. He says, you can have some of that peace now and the fullness of it when your journey is complete in Him. But keep on carrying on. Keep in the fight. Keep in the fight. And yes, we got to do our part. We need to get some grit and some gravel down in our spiritual crawl. And we need to get to that point where we say, it's not over until Jesus and I win. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you put your foot down and you say, me and Jesus, we're going to get through this thing. We're going to stick our head down. We're going to plow through. Yeah, there's a little bit of that in here too, for sure. I mean, though I fall 1,000 times, I'm not a failure unless I quit. Right? Paul wrote to Timothy, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race and I've remained faithful. He remained faithful in relationship with the Savior, but he wasn't without struggle during his life. He was nearly beaten to death for his faith more than once, and he even had a thorn in his flesh that he asked God to heal, but it was never healed. We can identify with that. We've prayed for people that haven't been healed, but they were healed there. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, this is Paul talking about that thorn. He said, He cried out to God and asked him to heal him. And then he says this in 12:9. But he said to me, this is he, meaning the Lord. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul says, well, therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Jesus knew we would go through these struggles. He knew it. And all the searching for answers and all the trying to make sense of it, it never brings resolve to those tensions. Those struggles that we experience. Life is tension. It's struggle. And the Bible tells us that we'll go through them. But when that struggle becomes so overwhelming, when you feel like you can't get through another day of carrying this load, this baggage around, I'm telling you, when you feel distant from Jesus, just remember what he said in this one verse wonder, because it is the absolute truth and the way through. He says, come to me, with all those burdens, all that weariness, all that tiredness, and I will give you rest. That's what he says. Jesus is our oasis of rest. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. The Bible says he's our ever-present help in time of need. He's the peace that passes all human comprehension. The psalmist declared, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all of my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. He knows. He understands. He hears your prayers. He feels your pain. He knows everything about you. Your past failures and even the traumas you've endured. He knows what you're carrying right now in the present, and he even knows your future. And I think this, God is preparing us even now for the tensions and struggles we might experience ahead of us so that we can get through them. He is the one that will give you real rest. Just don't quit. Carry on. Carry on. And we got to do that. We got to carry on, but not alone. We have a Savior named Jesus who gives us strength for every single step. Everyone that's listening online this morning and everyone that can hear my voice in this place today. Every one of you has a different burden, a different struggle. And it doesn't matter what it is or how it came about. Carrying it around will make you weary. That baggage is burdensome. And he's calling you this morning with an open invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, there's just something about our humanity that, I don't know why we do this, but a lot of times we wait till we're at the end of our rope before we reach up. You don't have to wait till you're at the bottom of the barrel. You don't have to wait till you're at the end of your rope. You don't have to wait till there's nothing left but Jesus. But we do that, don't we? We don't give him it all. We don't lay down those burdens. We try to do it in ourselves. And I know so many stories in here. You know, people who've lost loved ones way too soon. People that are just going through it in their marriage or their kids or their health or just whatever. They're just going through it. Some of you are trying to stand righteously in even political positions, and you're getting hammered out there. And it's hard. It's hard. The burden is real. The struggle is real. And yet his simple answer to all of that, and maybe we don't like to hear it, but you need to hear it, just come to me. Well, there's nothing more to it? No, just come to me. Not me, him. If you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're tired, come to me. I'll give you rest. I mean, I think that's what we all want. Peace, rest. I mean, within our families, within our church, within our lives, we just want peace. And he's the Prince of Peace. Like I said earlier, he's our oasis of rest. So would you bow your heads this morning? And I'm just going to make a simple plea to you. We talked about altars the whole month of July. Altars is a place where you meet God. I'm not going to get into reviewing the whole series. But you meet God at the altar, wherever you make that. And there's something about down front in the church where we reserve space. We don't put seats all the way forward. We leave space so people can come and we can make an altar area here. There's something about getting up out of your seat and saying, yes, I need to make that decision. It's a response. It allows a response to God's word. And this morning, if you're just been carrying the load, the burden, the struggle is real for you, This is your day. Jesus wants to meet you down front here, and he'll meet you right where you're at too. I'm not saying that. But he'll meet you right down here, and he'll give you that sense of rest, that peace that you've been longing for as you lay those burdens at his feet, as you let him take them off of you. So on the count of three, I'm just going to have you get up. If that's you, come forward and lay him down.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.